Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, earlier today, the Falkland Islands government tweeted, "We are forever in your debt." Slate magazine called her a feminist. But on CNN, Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams said she hurt the Irish and British people. And the Daily Mirror headline screams, "Margaret Thatcher's death, a great day for coal miners." Margaret Thatcher, Britain's first female prime minister, died today at 87. Hers is a clear legacy for those who say her iron will bucked up a flagging country, broke the miners' unions, triumphed in a far-off war.
Well, if there was any doubt about the determination of the British people, it was removed by the men and women who a few months ago brought a renewed sense of pride and self-respect to our country.
But Margaret Thatcher's legacy is far more complicated for critics who say she broke the unions, refused to give jailed Irish hunger strikers political status, and launched a foolish war in the Falklands with hundreds of deaths. Our old friend Michael Goldfarb is an American journalist in London for years. He was NPR's London bureau chief and joins us from there. Michael, what's the mood there?
Well, as you can imagine, it's a tidal wave of comment. I imagine many of the comments had been pre-taped because Margaret Thatcher had been in poor health for years. And listen, this is a force of nature, easily the most dynamic and dramatic figure I've ever lived under. I mean, maybe I'm really old at a Robin. Maybe LBJ had the same kind of dramatic reshaping of a society. But she took this country, for better or worse, and dragged it by the scruff of its neck to a vision that she had for it. She didn't get all the way there. But, you know, people really are stunned. Some are very happy that she's dead. But most of the comment has been extraordinarily respectful.
Well, let's explain why. She brought the Conservative Party back to power in 1979, and then the Falkland Wars. Now, The Guardian writes that up till that point, Margaret Thatcher had achieved little but tax breaks for the rich, cuts for the poor. Then, quoting them, she was caught napping by a tin pot dictator, the Argentinians invading the Falklands, which had been seized by the British in the late 1800s. The Argentinians thought everyone would be sympathetic. Over 1,000 men ultimately died, 255 British. Her critics say she could have found another way, but winning that war pole vaulted her.
Yeah, she came to power in 1979, went off and essentially overnight tried to take what was, you know, a socialized capitalist economy with lots of nationalized industries, very powerful trade unions, and overnight decided to turn it all into, you know, the kind of economy that we're used to today, you know, based on Hayekian principles and so on. And it was a disaster. A terrible recession came on. Her own party was very nervous about whether she could continue in power. And then the Argentines overreached themselves, invaded the Falklands, and she stood up to them. Now, many in her cabinet said it wasn't worth it. Her foreign secretary actually resigned. But she had, for much of her premiership, a finger on the pulse of the majority. And it's very hard for those who were against her to accept this. A finger on the pulse of the majority opinion in this country. And they just said, you know, nobody can just waltz in and take these islands which belong to us. She sent a task force down to the South Atlantic. Her good friend Ronald Reagan tried to stop her, sent Alexander Haig down there. He was Secretary of State at the time, down to Argentina, try and work something out.
Well, I have to jump
she
in to say,
have it and
I just have to jump in to say Ronald Reagan also tried to talk to the Argentinians, and apparently the general he reached was drunk. I mean, you know, so many died, but it was farcical on many levels.
I know. If you look at some of it, it was farcical. The deaths were very real.
Right.
And the fallout was that she became impregnable for the rest of the decade of the 1980s. And then she did something, Robin, that I think is probably arguably the most controversial thing she did. She went to war on a segment of her own people. She went to war on the miners, and that's the only way to describe what happened here. She picked a fight with them, rather like the Argentine generals. The miners' leader, Arthur Scargill, was happy to think he had tremendous strength and would fight back. A year-long strike, and people have to understand that coal mining drove the Industrial Revolution, which started here in Britain. These were communities that were 200 years old, built around coal mines that were still full of coal. Many of them now are empty. They're boarded up. The communities were destroyed. And people don't forgive her for that. And in fact, recently, Robin, I was just up in the Northeast to do a story. And I went to one of these areas that had been full of coal mining communities, industrial communities. They're museums now. And that is also part of her legacy, and a very, very difficult one for a lot of people to have some kind of equanimity about, particularly in this country.
Yeah. So as we said, conflicting feelings on her death. Here's some sound from, I believe, 1985. She visited Northern England, this area you're talking about, where there was this high unemployment, in part as a result of what her actions. Let's listen.
Don't you think that's the way to persuade more companies to come to this region and get more jobs as I want them for the people who are unemployed? Not always standing there as moaning minis. Now stop it.
Now stop it. Margaret Thatcher. Michael Goldfarb, former NPR bureau chief there in London, on the legacy, the mixed legacy there, the mixed thoughts on Margaret Thatcher's passing, although, as you say, just in the few seconds we have, a lot of sadness.
There's sadness, but, you know, look, it is definitely mixed, but she was definitely a titanic figure in the last quarter of the 20th century.
Yeah. Michael, thanks so much. And we are reminded that the musical Billy Elliot was set in County Durham during the violent 1984 strike of the miners against the Thatcher closure of British coal mines. We'll listen to a little of that as we go into a break. On the other side, Margaret Thatcher's friendship, special friendship with Ronald Reagan. Also, we want to hear from you, hereandnow.org, on Facebook, at facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Joanna Friedrichs writes, thousands are out of work. She's not the saint they make her out to be. More of your thoughts on the other side of the break, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our look at the complicated legacy of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who died today. At our website, Cindy Scott Day wrote, "I don't agree with everything she stood for, but I'm proud that she was a woman of conviction who knew how to govern. Joe Burkle wrote at facebook.com/hereandnowradio, "She saved the British economy, loved being British, and was proud of it." However, another listener has tweeted, "I hope you don't devote your whole show to that weird lady from the 1980s Phil Collins puppet video." We will have that picture for you at hereandnow.org. As we said, it's complicated. What was not as complicated was her relationship with Ronald Reagan, with the special relationship between Thatcher and former President Reagan, unusually close. He called her the best man in England. She called him the second most important man in my life. She eulogized Reagan at his 2007 funeral, remembering his zeal to revive American patriotism and end communism.
"These were causes hard to accomplish and heavy with risk. Yet they were pursued with almost a lightness of spirit. For Ronald Reagan also embodied another great cause, what Arnold Bennett once called the great cause of cheering us all up."
Boston University Professor of International Relations William Keeler joins us now. And Professor, we want to note that critics of both Reagan and Thatcher say both got too much credit for ending the Cold War, that both missed that the Soviet Union was actually collapsing. But I want to put that aside and note that you say, while we just heard her give credit to Ronald Reagan, she didn't get enough herself?
Well, I think that she played an important role in the end of the Cold War, along with Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II, obviously. But she always was somewhat in the background. Reagan took the lead, and they did have slight differences over the way to deal with the Soviet Union. And I don't think that she did get the credit she deserves for that.
Did she actually sort of push Ronald Reagan to meet with Gorbachev?
Well, initially, of course, she met Gorbachev even before he became First Secretary of the Soviet Union, of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, and she had a very favorable impression of him. And so she urged Reagan to meet with him. But at the same time, when Reagan did have a high-level meeting with him in Reykjavik, Iceland in 1986, she was very alarmed when Reagan proposed the elimination of most strategic weapons. She's worried, was worried that that would strengthen the Soviet Union because they had a very strong lead in conventional weapons. So there was a kind of ambivalence there about her relationship with Reagan with regard to Gorbachev.
How else did she, though, impact Ronald Reagan and U.S. policy?
Well, she obviously shared with Reagan this very strong commitment to free market economics. Both of them were responsible for severely weakening the labor movements in their respective countries and introducing the concept of free markets, no question about that. On the other hand, there were some differences in foreign policy worth noting. Your earlier guest mentioned that in the Falklands Island crisis of 1982, Reagan tried to sort of mediate between the two. These were two allies of the United States, the United Kingdom and Argentina, and she was annoyed at that. She very definitely indicated that. And then in the invasion of Grenada, hadn't been mentioned yet in 1983, Grenada, although it was independent of the UK, it was a member of the Commonwealth, and Reagan did not really consult with her before sending American troops into that island. So she was very much annoyed at that as well.
What about personally? They seemed to be very different. He was charming, had a light touch. She, not so much. and it said that he didn't have her work ethic and attention to detail.
Well, yes. I mean, they both shared a common background. They came from humble surroundings and then gained control of their respective conservative parties. But in terms of personality, obviously she was aggressive, hyperactive, very dynamic, sort of an in-your-face kind of person. And Reagan, of course, the laid-back, sunny Southern California guy. You wouldn't have expected that they would have gotten along as well as they did, but they definitely had developed this very close personal relationship that lasted throughout their entire careers.
Producing Thatcherism in the UK, Reaganism in the US. And just so that those who maybe didn't live during Thatcher's time aren't thinking right now, oh, it's just because she was a woman. You know, she was aggressive. If a woman's aggressive, she's not as charming as a man. It was beyond that. She was, they didn't call her the Iron Lady for nothing. And we have a clip of Meryl Streep as Margaret Thatcher in the 2011 film Iron Lady. Of course, this is an actress, but said to be close to the real thing. Here she is silencing her doctor, who makes the mistake in a checkup of asking how she's feeling. She responds, "It's thoughts that matter," and then tells him what she's thinking.
"Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. What we think, we become. And I think I am fine."
So there. I'm Professor Keeler, just a few seconds here. What do you think her legacy is?
Her legacy is, number one, to have severely weakened the labor movement in the UK. Number two, having strengthened the Conservative Party. Number three, influenced the Labor Party, because when Tony Blair took over the Labor Party, he moved it to the center in terms of domestic policies. In terms of foreign policy, she stood shoulder with shoulder, shoulder and shoulder with Ronald Reagan against the Soviet Union.
Yeah. William Keeler, professor of international relations at Boston University, on the death of Margaret Thatcher today. Professor Keeler, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And again, we'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on the first and so far only female leader of Britain. At hereandnow.org, on facebook.com/hereandnowradio. Back in a minute. Here and Now.